Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Reverend Graham Foran, missionary to Brazil. The title of his message is, God Provides Everything We Need to Serve Him. The text is from Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 18.
I'm glad you could all make it back today. Turn in your Bibles again to Exodus chapter 4. We have enjoyed being here. And let me say, I have appreciated the invitation. It's somewhat humbling. A number of great and wonderful servants of God are here this week. I wish you could have been backstage yesterday and today. The men who prayed yesterday and today shared such wonderful stories. I was in the back talking with them. I thought, this is great. I'm enjoying this. I wish everybody could hear the blessings of God in their ministry. I never intended to be a missionary. It was not on the radar scope. It wasn't that I was against being a missionary. From the very first day I was at Bob Jones, I started going to Mission Prayer Band. I prayed for missionaries faithfully all the time I was here. I was involved in Middle East Prayer Band in those days. But I never planned to be a missionary. And the main reason was just simply this. I knew I wasn't qualified. I mean, I read missionary biographies. I know what missionaries are like. I mean, C.T. Studd and Jonathan Goforth and William Carey and David Livingston and Graham Foran just somehow didn't fit in that list. We talked yesterday about Moses. God came to Moses and he said, I want you to go and deliver my people. And Moses' reaction, I think, is perfectly understandable. He said, Lord, who am I and what will I say? And then as we talked yesterday, he was impressed by God to give himself, to yield what was in his hand, to make himself available. Now, Moses wasn't through. He hadn't given up yet on his resistance. And if we continue in chapter 4 of Exodus, we find in verse 10, Moses' second objection. And here, once again, remember that distinction I made. At the beginning, Moses is asking good questions, and God is giving him answers. And then Moses starts making excuses, and God responds by asking questions. Look at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He said, Lord, I'm not a good speaker. I wasn't a good speaker before you came and talked to me today, and I'm certainly not a good speaker now. And so the Lord answered Moses and said, oh, yeah, of course not. Oh, what am I thinking, Moses? Just forget it. I am sorry. Shouldn't even have brought it up. Just forget it, okay? No, that's not what he said. The Lord said to Moses, in the form of a question here, in verse 11, the Lord said to him, who hath made man's mouth? He said, now, Moses, think with me just a minute. Who made your mouth? Who makes blind people? Who makes the dumb? Who gives tongue to the voice? He said, have not I, the Lord? He says, I can give you the ability. He says in verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and will teach thee what thou shalt say. So he gives him a promise here. You will have what you need. Now yesterday I gave you this principle, and that is that the Lord uses available people. I'd like to add something here. As God debates with Moses, God provides everything we need to serve him. This is a principle in the will of God. You can count on God's provision. Now, it might be material, it might be spiritual, it might be social, it might be physical, but you can count on it. God makes himself responsible for his servant. Now, you and I, we're afraid. We're worried. You see, we say, but like Moses, but what if I get in a situation where, you know, I don't know what to do? Well, what if I get in a situation where it's out of my control? Well, what if I get in a place and I don't have the money? Now, I want to assure all of you this morning, after 20 years of missionary experience, after 34 years of serving the Lord in some capacity, I want you to know that you are always in a situation that you can't control. You are never able to control circumstances. And when you think you are, you're just deceived. God is always providing what you need. Now, sometimes God provides in a very normal, ordinary way, and we forget about it. Sometimes God puts us beyond ourselves for the purpose of illustrating what we need. Now, you're in school. Many of you are going through this right now. Some of you don't know how you're going to pay next month's bill. Or maybe you're wondering how you're going to pay last year's bill. You are out of your comfort zone. And that's where God puts you. You're there on purpose. Missions, serving the Lord in any place, in any location, in any sphere, depends on God and God alone. He is the provider. He said, Moses, look, you will go and I'll tell you what to say. I remember years ago, I was in graduate school, and it wasn't all that many years ago. It was just long enough. My wife and I lived in a little duplex down off Rutherford Road. And I had a job. I can't remember exactly whether it was when I was in grad school or Renee was finishing up or it was after she finished up and I was in grad school. But anyway, we were going to school and working. Now, I had a good little job. It was here at the university, and it met all our needs. Now, a few luxuries like food we didn't have, but, you know, all the basic stuff. And every Saturday I would go out and cut grass, and I had a great job. I had a doctor in town, and he really liked me, and he always paid me well and paid me in cash. And it was great. Every Saturday I'd go out and work, make a nice little salary, and go out and buy groceries. One Saturday, when I got there, the doctor said, Graham, you know what? Don't need you today. You can have the day off. I didn't want the day off. I wanted to eat. And I went home, and my wife had given me a list of things to buy. So I went to the Bilo there at the corner of Rutherford Road and 291. And you'll know now why I'm not in the math department, because I thought, okay, I got $6 and I can buy this and this and this and this. And I went and I very carefully added everything up. Of course, when I got to the counter, she was running the stuff up and it came to about $8. And I was like, oh. And very embarrassed, I said, oh, yeah, well, hey, you know, I changed my mind. I don't think I'll buy this. Let's calculate it again. I walked out of the Bilo's and I was mad at God. I was upset. I thought, Lord, how can this be? I didn't get the job. I just went through an embarrassing situation there. There was a whole line of people behind me. And I thought, Lord, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I'm in the ministry already, preaching and teaching on the weekends. I'm in training for future ministry. We tithe. We give to missions. We go soul winning with our local church. Lord, I go to the jail, I preach. Lord, I'm trying to serve you every way I can. How can it be that I don't have money to eat? And I went back to the house. My wife and I, we prayed that day. We prayed all day. Now, my dad lived in Atlanta. My dad was well-to-do. I could have called my father up, said, hey, Dad, just a little short this week. Could you send me a check? My dad would have written a check and mailed it off that day. No questions asked. I could have called Renee's dad. He lived in Atlanta. I could have said, hey, Dad, you know, a little short this week. My father-in-law would have gotten in the car. He would have driven to Greenville. He would have put Renee in the car. He would have taken her back to Atlanta. He would not have let her suffer. I did not call my father-in-law. I didn't call my dad. You know, somehow in my heart, it never occurred to me. Later on, after this was over, I thought, well, you know, you could have called Dad. I never thought about calling Dad. I just knew that our Heavenly Father was responsible for our needs. And it was midnight, and my wife and I were laying across the bed, reading the Bible together. And I remember very specifically, Psalm 34 had become a very special verse to us, a passage of Scripture, a number of wonderful verses. We inscribed one of the verses on our wedding ring, a phrase from it. And in that passage, it says this, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And as we lay across the bed that night, we were praying God's promises back to Him, saying, Lord, this is Your promise. And somebody knocked on the door. Now, where I lived, in that little duplex, you didn't just open the door at midnight. So I sort of crept around the side and looked out the window, saw a guy in my Sunday school class. I opened the door. I said, Brad, what are you doing here? It's midnight. He said, answer one question. Do you need food? I said, we were on the bed praying for it right now. He said, I've been laying in bed since 10 o'clock, back and forth. And God said, get up and take Graham some food. And he said, that's where I am. And that's why I'm here. And he walked in the door and he gave me two sacks of canned goods and $20 and walked out that night. You know, through our ministry, I would be afraid to tell you how much money has come through our ministry in the last 20 years. It's scary. Buildings to build, works in the Bible Institute, support for national workers, our own personal support. I mean, it gets into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. But there has never been a moment in my life that I knew better than that moment that there was a real God in heaven and He knew me and He knew my need. The doctor could have let me cut the grass that morning. God didn't want him to. He wanted to put me in a position where I desperately needed God. Listen, this morning, God will provide your need. The only provision here is that we are serving God. As we serve God, what you need most is God. And if it takes going to Brazil to find God, you should do it. Now, the stepping out behind God, following Him wherever it may be, even if it's across the street, is how we grow in our Christian lives. Let me ask you this morning, just like we said yesterday, can you trust God with your needs? Can you say, Lord, I don't see how this can work. I don't know how, humanly speaking, I can do this. But God, I will trust You. Now, if you go to a foreign country, you're going to find yourself over and over again in difficult situations. It's things that you don't understand. I was at the hospital one time. We had a lady in our church needed blood. So we got a bunch of us, went down there and all lined up to give blood. They took us in one at a time, give us a little physical so we'd figure out whether we were capable of giving blood. And they took us in one at a time and I went in finally. It was my turn. The nurse sat me down in a little chair there at the desk and she said, you need to take your temperature. So here's the thermometer. I picked it up, put it in my mouth. The nurse is writing. She looks up and says, not in your mouth! Now, it's not as bad as you think. They put them in the armpits. That was not that long ago. We find ourselves often out of our depth. Listen, God wants to teach us. He wants to draw us to Himself. He wants to make us like Jesus. You don't have to be a missionary in a foreign country, but you have to trust God. And the only way you trust Him is to step out where you don't know what's going to happen. Well, Moses did like most of us do. He got to the end of his questions and he got to the end of his good excuses. And he finally just dug his heels in. And in verse 13, he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. If it had been Isaiah, he would have said, here am I, Lord, send him. please, Lord, anybody but me. And then the Lord, in verse 14, gets mad. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And then if you read the next several verses, you're going to find God's answer. God's answer to Moses is, you will go. You can read through here how many times the word will and shall. He just over and over again says, this is how it's going to be. And then you're going to do this. 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 And in verse 18, it says Moses went. He had had enough. You know, my experience in my life as a Christian is this. That over and over again, God puts me to a test. And what He really wants is for me to say yes. And when I say yes, we go on. And I don't always know where that yes is going to take me. And sometimes it takes me a long time to get to saying yes. But that's what God wants. He wants you and your heart to be saying daily as you read the Word, as you're challenged in a chapel message, as in your devotions or in your study or in your contact with your friends or your teachers or pastors or anyone. As you come to that moment of crisis and of decision, God is saying, say yes. Now, it's not that God is in heaven today wringing His hands and saying, oh, I hope Graham doesn't blow it again. God is saying that His work will go on. He's not wringing His hands. His work will be done. But He invites us. It is His pleasure that we involve ourselves in His work. And He says to us, say yes. Now, there's always this issue of the call. How do you know if you're called to be a missionary? And I don't have a good solution for that. If you've got a good solution, write another book. But I know in my life, I didn't intend to be a missionary. I was an assistant pastor. I thought I had the gift of the assistant pastor. I thought, the Lord has given me the gift. I was at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church 8 years. I loved it. I had a measure of success there. The people loved me. The pastor loved me. I felt I had everybody pretty well fooled. And I was happy. My wife had all of our children's spouses picked out. They were 5 and 3 and 1. And she already knew who they're going to marry. And then this missionary, Robert Jones, that our church supported, came to our church on a Sunday night in October 1986. And as he was preaching, he got to the end of the message and he said, if God wants you to come to Brazil and help us, come forward. Now, all during the service, as he preached, I had felt the Lord dealing with me. I felt certain that He was dealing with someone nearby, and I was only overhearing what He was saying. Because I already knew that I was going to be assistant pastor forever. And then he said those words, if God is calling you to Brazil, come forward. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And I got up out of my... I had to. I got up and I went to the front. I knelt and I thought, Lord, what are you getting me into? I'm being honest with you. These are the thoughts that went through my brain. I'm sure most people thought I was confessing serious sin in my life because nobody came up and said anything to me except my wife. She said, are we going to the mission field? And I said, I don't know, honey. I don't know what's happening. So we went home that night. And my wife didn't go to bed. We just moved into our little house. She walked around that house and surrendered all of her furniture and her decorations. She surrendered her little rooms we just added on. That was our first house. We never had a house that was ours. And she surrendered it all to God. I went to bed. I got up the next morning. My wife said to me, I'm ready to go to Brazil. I said, fine, you go, I'll stay. I was praying. It wasn't I wasn't praying, but I just wasn't getting anywhere. I kept praying this prayer. I thought it was a really good prayer. You might want to write it down because it sounded really good. I said, Lord, I will go to Brazil. If you want me to go, just make it clear. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound good to you? Well, I thought it sounded great. And I prayed that prayer, and I prayed it, and I prayed it, and I prayed it, and I prayed it. I mean, I prayed it all day Monday, and I'm praying it all day Tuesday, and I have a headache, and my stomach hurts. And finally, I thought, I can't take any more of this. Something's got to give. I thought, I'm just going to forget it. I'm not going to think about Brazil anymore. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to cut the grass. So I'm in the backyard cutting grass. And I'm going back and forth in the yard. Of course, I really didn't forget because I'm still praying. And I'm saying, Lord, I'll go to Brazil if you want me to go. Just make it clear. I don't know what I wanted. Maybe, you know, the stars in the heavens would rearrange themselves and say, drink Coca-Cola. You know, something small, a minor miracle. And I'm praying this prayer. And all of a sudden in the backyard, I mean, just as certainly as I was standing there, I stopped. I thought, wait a minute. I had a thought. Strange, but yes. And I thought, wait a minute. It's not the devil calling me to leave my comfortable church and my comfortable salary and my comfortable life and to go to Brazil and preach the gospel. This is not a work of Satan. And if it's not Satan's work, then it's God. And there, right there in the backyard with the lawnmower running, I said, dear God, and I lifted my hand up. I said, I am going to Brazil. And Lord, if you don't want me to go, just make it clear. Guess what? He never said anything. But I knew that I was going. Now, you know what? I do believe in a call. I believe that a missionary on the field needs the conviction in his soul that God has put him there. Because he will face loneliness. He will face discouragement. He will face hard times. He will face difficulty. But he will know that God has put him there. And God will sustain him. My friends, Moses in chapter 3 and 4 of Exodus is a very pitiful excuse for a Christian leader. But as we read in the book of Exodus and on, we find a dynamic, powerful man of God. What happened to him? I mean, this guy here in chapter 3 and 4, he sounds just like we do. What changed him? Well, Moses became the man God wanted him to be by obeying. And that's what's going to happen to you. When I graduated from school, one thing I knew for sure was that nobody was going to hire me for anything. I thought, oh, this is going to be terrible. I'm going to go all the way through school. I better go to graduate school because I need a couple more years to give myself something, some way to eat. I was scared to death. I thought, I'm going to graduate. I won't have a place to go. I mean, I had heard myself preach. I knew nobody else wanted to hear me. But it's not what you are now. It's what God is making of you. And He will make you the man or the woman He wants you to be. And it's an amazing thing. My life is a life of high adventure. Oh, it's not that every day we get up jumping around the room. It's a life of adventure because we are seeing God at work. And that is worth more than millions. You go up to the display room this afternoon and representative after representative will tell you the same thing. We invite you to a life of adventure with God. But a young lady who graduated from here didn't exactly know what she was going to do. And we were desperate. We had had a baby that hadn't exactly been planned. And my wife had planned to teach our children homeschooling, and all of a sudden a brand new baby. So we called this young lady, friend of ours, graduate of Bob Jones. She didn't have a job yet. We said, would you come to Brazil and help us? Just this one year. She came. She taught our children. Oh, it was a blessing to us. She went back and got a job. Today she's married to an assistant pastor of a church. They do the music and youth at their church. So she was a blessing to us. She couldn't speak the language, but while she was there, though she couldn't speak the language, she made friends with a Brazilian young lady who couldn't speak English. And they hit it off, and they got together, And they spent time. And that young lady was a person who never came to our church except on a rare occasion. She started coming because Paige was there. And coming and coming, she got her heart right with God. She went to our Bible college. She was our first Bible college student from our first church in Cochia. Sent her off from the church. Today she's married to a pastor and they're serving the Lord in Curitiba. Humanly speaking, that would not have happened. Except for a young lady who didn't know exactly what to do. And so she said, yeah, I'll give 9 months on the mission field. Who knows what God could do with you? God doesn't want to do something to you. He wants to do something with you and through you and for you. It's the best thing you could imagine. Bow your heads if you would, please. Are you available to God? Have you said, dear Lord, I do not know what you could do with me. I am a poor stick in your hand, but I am in your hand, Lord. Can you trust God with your needs? Are you willing to step out by faith and trust the Lord to provide? Would you say in your soul, God, I will do your will. As you reveal it to me, I will step forward and volunteer. I will say yes.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Graham Foran, missionary to Brazil. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.